I know these conventions or these meetings get a bit stuffy, but thanks for staying till the end. But I want to have a more of a conversation instead of a traditional kind of presentation, because I know we all kind of zone out towards the end. But this is a very important, complex topic. Mothers, fathers, togetherness, it's so complex that to kind of reduce it down into these 15-minute blocks of time is very difficult. So this talk here is more from an exploratory kind of standpoint. So I appreciate your attention, though. We looked at spousal interaction, and so like, what does that really mean? We're going to go and define that as how a mother and father kind of interact with one another. What's their communication strategies, so on and so forth. If they ignore each other when they're trying to talk to them, what is the quality of that interaction? So that's what we're trying to look at, and how that actually affects a relationship, and in the very end, how it affects a mental health status of the father. So that's what the angle is we're going here. I have some of my colleagues here in the audience, that they co-authors with me, Nick and Andrea and Kathy. I just want to say thank you to them ahead of time. The only affiliation I have that is just in title is the Men's Health Initiative. We are an original outreach and research nonprofit based in Florida. But there's no financial conflicts of interest, but just to make that aware, full disclosure. We need to talk about marriage and health. That's why we did the paper and the project. It's complex, and like I said it before, and to take it down to 15 minutes is impossible. But we're going to try to challenge like what these traditional understandings of the marital pathway are. And we're going to try to determine if marriage is truly protective against adverse health outcomes. They always say that, yeah, get married, you're going to have great outcomes. Well, maybe. And then, but we're trying to figure out how marriage influences mental health status. And particularly, we're looking at the interracial, inter-ethnic relationships. Is marriage beneficial for all? Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whoever. Is marriage equity equal? So, just really quick, I want to bring this up. There's always this health disparity going on between men, males and females. Back about 1920 or so, there was this, in terms of longevity, it was pretty equal. But something happened, and you can see how the gap widened. If you look on the left, on the right, if I could get my directions met. If you look on the right there, you see around 1960, 70, you started to see that gap just starting to widen. There are many different things, but I just want to call attention to we're trying to figure out what is going on with these guys. And the gap still exists. It's about 5 years difference. So it's a huge health disparity, just one that's not really quite expanded upon that it should be. And lastly, why? Well, who knows why? It just seems to be forever and complex. But some of them are no healthcare coverage, guys don't go to the doctor as much, they're employed in more dangerous positions, they're in construction, they're on the front lines of battle, firefighting, there's a bunch of different things that make it more at risk. Lumberjacking and fishing, all these jobs that we don't really think about, and they actually are a risk to someone's health, and guys are more employed in those sectors. Society discourages health behaviors in men and boys. That's one thing that I research, is it's normalized for men and boys to live sicker and die younger. And we kind of laugh at those Homer Simpson, Peter Griffin fathers, right? What's a father? Oh, he can't change his diaper. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. But we kind of normalize that, and it's not right. We even normalize violence against men. But misandry is kind of like pushed to the back. Again, back to this talk, though, we don't look at marriage. We always say that it's beneficial, and we all have our marital spats. You could ask my wife about that, but people always assume that marriage is beneficial to everybody. Like, oh, okay, cool. But do we actually challenge that notion? No. And then, challenging it further, well, do black fathers and white fathers, they have the same benefit from being married? How about Hispanics and like Asian and so on and so forth? We don't really want to challenge these things. We assume them to be true. So that's what we're trying to do now, press the envelope. Anyway, I digress. Our research questions are the relationship between father's self-reported mental health status and level of interaction with their spouse. We were like, hey, if they interact with their spouse or the mother, do they have good mental health outcomes? Now this is exploratory, truly. I'm trying to get discussion going here, but it's something simple, and again, it is complex. This is one tip of one little tiny iceberg. But we want to look at this angle. If they interact, do they have better mental health outcomes? And further, are there racial ethnic differences? And if so, how large is marriage equally beneficial? If not, why? I'm not going to go through this whole fragile families boring method stuff because I want to get to the discussion part, but we used a fragile families data set. This was at a university, Princeton. And one thing about that, it's a large study. It's 15-year follow-up, and it was called the Fragile Families Child Well-Being Study. But the problem with that, though, is like, just really quick, is the use of the term fragile families. Sometimes we go and define stuff in a negative or weak perspective, and I don't think we could do that. We should probably try to title these things or perhaps define things through a more strength perspective. Right away, you look at that title like, oh, well, these families, they really need a lot of help. Not necessarily. That's just like my little soapbox about that. And going back to some of the previous presentations across today and then just the whole conference, is that like, how do we define father support? Father is supportive. They are not supportive. I mean, looking at it from the father's or mother's perspective, it could differ. Maybe the father is like is being supportive, but perhaps he's working two or three jobs and he really can't provide that level of support that the mother wants or needs. And going back to this, maybe they're not interacting enough to communicate that whole thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, it goes around communication between father and mother, father and child, child to mother, child to father. That's really important because how we're defining something can really, you know, make or break the conversation. So we're trying to define interaction, define mental health output. So we use the Fragile Families data set. It's a huge study, fantastically huge, actually. There was 15 years of follow-up. It actually there was pretty good retention throughout the whole study. And there is literature out there suggesting that marriage is beneficial. Okay, great. That's fantastic. And that there's a bunch of literature out there suggesting that spousal interaction is really important for awesome health outcomes. And that's great. That's fantastic. And I guess you have to define quality and quantity of interaction as well. But there is literature out there suggesting that. There is also literature suggesting that spousal interaction and marital satisfaction are interactive. And there's an association. That's fantastic as well. But what down here in the bottom here... that could be influenced. Gender roles and marital strain, if the guy or the woman or whoever, but we looked at heterosexual couples here, if they go into a relationship with a specific gender role and they want to follow that gender role and the other partner's like, hey, no, forget about that, that creates marital strain. And that goes under the, you know, that goes unexplored as well. What is gender role? Like who, like what are they defined? I mean, that's a big thing when it comes to relationship. We all know that. But that's really unexplored, and particularly from the father side of things. But lastly, there is evidence suggesting that marital satisfaction is not equitable across racial and ethnic groups. There's a lot of research on black fathers not really receiving the same benefits of marriage as non-black fathers. So we want to explore that a little bit further. Is marriage truly protective against health, adverse health outcomes, and is it universally beneficial? Well, let's see. Our method itself, we use about 1,050 out of the whole data set. We only use baseline information. That's it. This data set is humongous. It is a universe. And we are but a speck in one piece of planet looking at this stuff. Again, it's exploratory. Just to throw that out there, full disclosure. We did a self-reported mental health status. We created this variable called negative effect. That was one of three variables that we used for self-reported mental health status. We use the other questions, do you feel that you're being pushed around in life? And that was a dichotomous variable. The other variable was, are you dissatisfied with yourself? And that was dichotomously measured as well, yes or no. So negative effect was actually a score. And then we had two dichotomous yes or no variables. That was our mental health status. Now the spousal interaction, that was original as well. There was four questions from the father, because they interviewed the father and the mother together. The mother was interviewed right after birth, and the father was followed up in the hospital or 1 week afterwards. But they asked him kind of the same questions. The four questions that we said about interaction was, do you visit social networks together? Do you go out for entertainment out of the house together? Did you go out to eat at a restaurant? And did you help each other solve a problem? I was like, they're weird questions. But when I think about it, I'm like, if someone's interacting or communicating with someone's spouse, you do go out on dates. Well, we hope to, right? Did you go visit your friends? Did you go out for entertainment? And did you help solve a problem? That last one, solving a problem, I thought that was pretty cool. That's a good way of measuring interaction. How do you solve problems? So I thought that was a good way of measuring this interaction, at least get like a little canary in a coal mine to it. So we use that now as a score, and we put them in categories as well. And I just gave that just to get to the results. I maybe have like maybe 8 minutes left only, but the breakdown here, out of the whole 1,050, we had about nearly 30% black African-American, about just over 50% white. It was a pretty decent breakdown in racial ethnic groups, so we had a pretty robust ability to compare across groups. Hispanic fathers, you can see them on the bottom there, the Hispanic fathers, they were the youngest. There were significant differences across all racial groups. And then we broke down with Hispanics. Hispanics were younger than non-Hispanic fathers. The youngest groups were Asian and Pacific, or American Indian, Alaska Natives, and then Black African American. But what the real difference was between Hispanic and non-Hispanic fathers. So they were on average younger. I'm going to bring that up. Why I brought up the younger idea. If you look here, these are actually not the number or the average. This is the percentage of fathers per age category. Like down here to 18 to 24 year olds, so on and so forth. If you look at the percentage of fathers, like look at black African Americans, they have a higher proportion of younger fathers. It's a U-shaped curve. So they are younger fathers on average. If you look at the white fathers, it's more, not normal, but it's more normal shape. But this, they have a U-shaped curve, suggesting they're on average, or on percentages, they're younger fathers. Similar trends were seen with Hispanics as well. It's a U-shaped curve. They're younger fathers. Again, younger. What is when you're a young man, for men in here, what does that mean? You know, when you're younger, I mean, there are some things that you're trying to sort out and work out that could influence the relationship with the mother. But I'll go back to that. But they are younger, and you can see that U-shaped curve. And there were some significant differences. We did a chi-square analysis with that. There were significant differences in the percentages across racial groups and across Hispanics and non-Hispanics. So again, to summarize, racial and ethnic minority men are significantly younger than non-racial ethnic minority men. This is the breakdown here on the categories. So lowest spousal interaction, intermediate and high, there was no differences in score. But if you looked at, in age. So if you looked at the ages of all the interactions, they're kind of the same age. But if you broke it down to a negative effect, this is a 12-item score that we originally came up with. If you look at the worst one, so group six is like the worst negative or the worst mental health outcome. You can see there's a significant difference in fathers. In age. So the younger fathers have worse reported mental health outcomes. Interesting, right, with this age idea. But the ones with the best reported negative effect score, they are the older, or they're older on average. And there is significance there as well. But we looked at negative effect and interaction, there really wasn't anything there. Again, there some of the limitations of the study was like these are original variables that we made up, so the reliability and the validity of scores, that was an issue, of course. But when we looked at these variables interacting, there really wasn't anything going on between negative effect scores and spousal interaction groups. And we flipped it. We had negative effect groups and spousal interaction scores. There's nothing going on really there. But when we use the other variables in terms, and this is the aggregate father, Hispanics, non-Hispanics, all groups together. If you looked at being pushed around in life and looking at spousal interaction groups, there was significance there. And the dissatisfaction with self, there was significance there. And to summarize, there, participant fathers who had the least interaction with their spouse reported higher percentages of feeling pushed around and dissatisfied with themselves. Now, is the chicken or the egg thing? I don't know. Are they mad at the wife? And these were married fathers. They were only married fathers here. So, but it is a chicken or the egg thing. Are they fighting with them, and that's why they're you know having these reported outcomes, or is it because they were a little bit depressed coming into the marriage, and that's why they're not interacting with the spouse? I don't know yet. We got to look at that. But it is a chicken or the egg situation. But going back to the racial ethnic group, thank you. If you look at black African American fathers, this is that U-shaped curve that I was demonstrating before. they are younger. If you look at the percentages, and there is a significant difference there. I mean, that is the highest reported group. Low spousal interaction right there. Black African American fathers had the lowest. I'm sorry, this wasn't the U-shaped curve. My apologies. If you look at the spousal interaction grouping in percentages, Black African American fathers had the highest percentage reported that they had low spousal interaction. There was significance there, but not across negative effect groups. If you looked at, this is the satisfied with yourself. Black African-American fathers they had the highest reported that they're not satisfied with themselves across all groups. 28.1% of Black African-American fathers reported they're not satisfied with themselves. I mean, look at the rest of the percentages. They're like almost, some of them are nearly double, over double. I mean, there's something going on there. They are not satisfied. There's self-dissatisfaction going on. Across racial ethnic categories, the number of participant white or Caucasians compared to Black African American, they were relatively equally distributed up until high school graduation, but it was after high school, that's where the disparity happened. Black fathers were not going to college as much, or not getting technical school as much. There were some significant differences going on. If you look at Hispanic and non-Hispanic fathers, there was really low formal schooling. They had eighth grade or less. They dropped out before high school. And non-Hispanic fathers did have higher rates of attending college, technical school, so on and so forth. So you see Black African-American fathers and Hispanic fathers, the education gap was striking, particularly after high school. So that definitely factors in as well. If you go back to the previous presentations when they said about support and like I lost my job or something like that with employment, that could factor in. You know, they're under and unemployed, more so than white fathers. Regular work for pay, and I have two more minutes left and I'm almost finished. If you look at regular work for pay, Black African American fathers, they had higher rates, just to summarize, of unemployment. They were one of the most at-risk groups for being unemployed. Now, Hispanic fathers, they were employed, but they had the higher risk of being underemployed, meaning they were making less. So Hispanic fathers reported, yeah, I'm working, but they're working for really, really low wages. Black fathers, they were more reporting that they weren't working. Again, you have economic security issues, you know, you have education issues. There's a whole bunch of things that could factor into the interaction itself. Findings, and again, this is just exploratory with a small amount of time. We did find some issues with interaction and mental health outcomes were being reported. We're figuring out that it's something with the age of the fathers, and particularly with the minority men, it's about employment, it's about education. There's something going on there that could definitely affect how they're interacting with the mother, which obviously could affect how they're interacting with the child. It's not just like they don't want to do it. It's because they're under or unemployed and they're under or like not educated enough. And it's not their fault. It's a systems kind of issue. If we're going to have some parenting programs, it's important to include a communication or interaction component. That's crucial. Intimate partner communication activities or lessons. If the father's felt subjugated by the mother, how they're interacting, there's a lot of research to suggest that a wife talking to a husband, the husband could perceive that interaction as subjugation. It's an affront to their masculinity. Whose fault is it? I don't know. But it is an issue when it comes to smoking cessation particularly. Hey, you better quit smoking. The husband many times takes that as an affront. He will just reject the message and continue to smoke. There are ways that we can increase positive communication. We have to really take that into consideration. They're feeling stress and they have poor mental health outcomes because of that. We suggest early intervention with early pregnancy and teen pregnancies. Early intervention is crucial to this stuff, or to success for positive health outcomes. Lastly here, I'll mention all about this, but the last part here, we theorize that Black African-American fathers are not interacting with the mother as much and therefore have higher reported adverse mental health outcomes, but this needs to be further tested. Thank you very much. I'm Michael Rovito, Men's Health Initiative. I appreciate any questions at the very end, but thank you for your time.